Thank you, Sparkle. I'm going to run through this pretty quickly because of time, but I just wanted to start by setting a new context. And Dr. Wilbright will be up in just a moment. You want to come up, Akula? Where is she? Yeah. And so this whole notion is that we have been misled into thinking what diseases are because we then come up with the wrong solutions for the problems. So this one is talking about a heart attack has nothing to do with the heart. And then you say, well, what the hell is he saying? And I say, well, it's a misleading term. The heart attack itself has, the heart is fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the heart. The problem is not even in the blood vessels initially. The problem is in the blood. And it gets there. This stuff happens as a result of the stuff that we eat. And we're going to talk more about that in a minute. If you look at the risk factors from the CDC, you can see that these are all the things that we're aware of. But all of these things have nothing to do with the heart initially. This all has to do with the deposition of things inside the blood vessels that cause it. And these are the things where we get a lot of those kinds of things from. Obviously, meat, milk, and milk products. We've all seen these slides a gazillion times about the rise of obesity and diabetes in America, but the real question is, why did that happen? And when we look at this, just from 1950 to 2000, that we went from 16.4 pounds of chicken per person to 52.9 pounds of chicken. And we drink less milk, but we eat a hell of a lot more cheese. In 1950, we were only 7.7 pounds of cheese, and now we're almost 30 pounds of cheese per person. So there are obviously a lot of things that are modulated in looking at things like insulin growth factor. There was a study where they looked at serving people an Egg McMuffin and hash browns versus oatmeal, raisins, English muffin, and peanut butter. And the whole idea is that this inflammatory response, which is responsible for what happens inside the blood vessel that creates the cascade, that starts the blockage, that causes the heart attack, is what the issue is. And this IGF, this is insulin growth factor, there's also data that shows that that's lower in people who eat basically plant-based diets than people that do not. But the real part of the real money is in this whole role of endothelial cell destruction. And this is the inside lining of the blood vessel. This is where the rubber meets the road in terms of where the problems occur. And so I'm just going to show just if I don't know if you can see this.
While Dr. Campbell was publishing his that dropped up.
But what I want to just skip to, this is Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn. You probably recognize this from Forks Over Knives. But the part I want to just get to here is really talking about the endothelial cell. So the endothelial cell is absolutely critical for understanding how all of these things happen. So the endothelial cells right here, what he's describing is that these things are very, very important. And when you're healthy and young, you have about six tennis courts if you spread them all out. But then we learned that endothelial cells also made nitric oxide. And the nitric oxide was very, very important in making the blood flow through the vessels in such a way that it would not be sticky. It's also responsible for helping the blood vessel to dilate during exercise, and which is totally normal. And obviously, this keeps all the components of the blood. There's lots of things in the blood, platelets and all kinds of other things. But the nitric oxide is what's absolutely critical in making sure that this happens. Now, when we begin to eat our typical Western diet, we begin to slaughter our endothelial cells. And they cannot make the nitric oxide. They can't respond to keep the blood flowing smoothly. The damage to the blood vessels, it escalates. And this damage is what then manifests itself as things that we call heart attacks, that we call stroke, that we call peripheral vascular disease. But we know that if we begin to eat the opposite way, that is to begin more of a plant-based diet, that these changes actually can be reversed. And in Dr. Caldwell's book, How to Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease, as well as some of the other studies that have been done, have shown that this happened. But the key message here is that you do not just get segmental blood disease in a brain for a stroke, or in a heart for a heart, or in the vessels feeding your arms and legs. The key that you need to remember, if you remember nothing else from what I'm about to tell you, is that you don't have this disease in a local place. Having it anywhere means you have it everywhere. Having it anywhere means you have it everywhere. And therefore, food is the only logical thing that we can use to reverse this. And then my real quick close, just want to show you, since I'm a urologist, I can't help but talk about erectile dysfunction. But if you look at this, and what we looked at is, we looked at men, this is from JAMA, but we looked at men that had a heart attack, 801 of them. 649 of them reported having ED before then. That means that they had endothelial cell dysfunction that created a dysfunction for them being able to have an erection. And you can see here the hazard ratios for those patients, for those people that had a myocardial infarction are significant. And whether that was a stroke or whether that was what we call a TIA or death actually due to any cause. So what we're seeing here is that these vascular insults that are caused by the foods that we eat affect our entire circulatory tree. The fact that you're told that you have a heart attack, you have a stroke, or you have these things is misleading. And it makes you think that the problem is only there, but that's not true. It's everywhere. So I'm going to stop and let Akua have her comments. Thank you, and I got through that really quick. One last thing, just for African Americans to prove, the DASH diet shows that when we eat right, especially African Americans, our blood pressure drops more than it does for non-African Americans. So I just wanted to make that point too.
Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Akua Woolbright. I have a PhD in nutritional science. I'm just going to talk to you just casually about some of the observations coming out of my work in Detroit that really kind of brings to light what Dr. Mason is talking about. You know, it's really great to think about all this in academic terms, but I mean, the question really is, can people do this? Can people make these lifestyle and dietary changes? I originally moved from Austin, Texas to Detroit, Michigan in 2012 with Whole Foods Market. We were going to open a store in Detroit. It was all over the media. People kind of questioned whether this would be possible or not. And as a nutritionist, my job was to go and start the conversation about healthy foods, fresh healthy foods, because we understand that increasing access is not enough. You have to also make sure that education is provided. A lot of my friends and colleagues told me it was career suicide, that talking about, you know, a plant-based diet in a city like Detroit would not be possible. My argument to my colleagues has always been, you know, maybe people will make major lifestyle or dietary changes. Maybe they will not. We point to all the reasons why people can't make the change. We know that people of color in urban communities often are not compliant with their pill regimens. They're often not compliant with their regular hospital visits or their primary care visits. But as a black nutritionist, my response to that has always been, it's not my job to determine whether people will or will not make the change. It's my job to give them sound, good nutritional advice. So I went to Detroit with that mindset. Initially, people didn't know who I was. I didn't have anyone to really teach. And so I was teaching anywhere someone would take me. Local churches, community centers, barbershops, hair salons, rec centers, high schools. And what I found very quickly is that people were eager to know more about food as medicine, or food not as medicine, but food as health, as Dr. Mason wants us to think of it, as people wanted to have real, sound, concrete ways to prevent disease, to become healthier. So I took the work that we had done with Whole Foods Market team members, where we had taken them off to these week-long immersions to spend time with Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, Dr. John McDougall, Dr. Joel Furman, and others. And we saw in our team member or our employee base, people coming off medication by day 4 or 5 of a plant-based diet, people losing 60 to 90 pounds in under a year and keeping the weight off. And I wanted to see that same result in a community of people who look like me. And I started having this following. Now we teach classes every week. We get about 150 people a week to each class. People of all different social and economic backgrounds. People on SNAP and WIC are coming to class. And I find that they are asking me very hard questions. They're not interested in classes on, you know, eat more blueberries or drink more water. They're interested in classes on the science behind anti-aging. They're interested in classes on protecting and healing the adrenals and the thyroid. People are asking me about the biological mechanisms behind food cravings. So we're talking about dopamine and serotonin. I find that those classes are the ones that are the most attended and the most well received. And so I just think that we're at a time in public health to change the discussion, to change the narrative, and be more bolder in our recommendations, and to be more maybe hopeful and optimistic about the recommendations that we can make to communities of color, knowing that with a little bit of information and support, people can get there. I have people now who've been following me for the last 3 years. Every fall and spring, we do a detox challenge that's really based on the elimination diet, where we're taking out certain key food triggers. And each time we do a before and after with our followers, and we're finding that people are having amazing results. People are losing weight and keeping it off. People are getting past some bloating or some allergic reactions they're having to certain foods. We have people lowering their blood pressure and coming off cholesterol medications. We are seeing people have some responses to conditions that we would not necessarily connect to food, like less sweaty palms, less night sweats, less insomnia. We had, you know, a woman who had some throat irritation and they thought they were going to do a biopsy on her. They thought maybe she had like throat cancer or some more serious condition. After 28 days of eating plant-based, her symptoms completely went away. No biopsy was ever done. And so we're having these really remarkable, amazing results. And I just want to encourage us all to think more boldly about what people can do with lifestyle changes. Think more boldly about the recommendations we can make. I'm encouraging all of my fellow health practitioners to go beyond recommending portion control and moderation and get really specific and real about the foods that can actually heal our bodies, our systems, our organs, and ourselves. Thank you.
Take questions at the end.
Okay.
Give
one more?
Yeah,
we
got
one
more.
I just wanted
to
just make one up. Okay, that's why I'll remember. I just want to say that what Doctor has just said is absolutely true. We've seen this. We've had at our own, in one of the, I've done a similar thing where we had about 700 people agree to go on a 10-day, what we call a 10-day jump start. And these were people that we measured their weights. I don't have the data here, but I can get that. Maybe I'll put that in for next year. But we have the data on the persons in terms of the weight that they lost, as well as the changes in their cholesterol. And you might say that 10 days is not enough time. That is absolutely not true. You can see major changes very quickly when you go to a whole food plant-based way of eating. I know it sounds weird, and it may sound different for folks, many people in this room, but it is absolutely true. I've been plant-based now for, oh my God, for a few years now. And I can tell you myself, you know, I'll be getting my Medicare card next year. So I'll be 65. So I just think that it's a real way for us to begin to think about our health in a totally different way and not lock ourselves into these paradigms that we currently believe. There you go,
yep.
I knew it.
Yes, and I do have one more thing, sorry. I want you to know that from the work that we did with Whole Foods Market, my first month there, the results were so dramatic that now we've started a new foundation based on that work. Whole Cities Foundation, if you want to learn more about what we're doing around food access and fresh, healthy foods, you can look that foundation up. We're going to be moving from Detroit now to other cities around the country, New Orleans, Louisiana, Jackson, Mississippi, and the Inglewood community right here in Chicago. And so if anyone's interested in helping us do that work of increasing access to fresh, healthy foods and nutrition education, we need the support, we need the help. We're looking for guest speakers, anyone who's passionate about plant-based nutrition and communities of color. We need the help, and we would love for you to join our efforts. Thank you.